Hi, it's Mac. It's McCorgan and Audio Boo. Some of you will most likely remember a fairly recent piece of audio I put up about an old lady friend of my wife's, Mary Kelly, who died, unfortunately passed away 2 or 3 weeks ago. And following that, which it was a very sad occasion, of course, but following that, her niece, Mary, who is in fact in her 60s herself and has her own family in a nearby town, and was very close to Mary, of course, and she was given the task by Mary of sorting out her estate and her house, etc. Basically shoved everything into Mary's hands, and such was the task that Mary has actually been living in Mary's house for the past 2 weeks. Apparently, well, we already knew that Mary, being a great Catholic Christian, had a house full of religious artifacts, hundreds of clearly visible figurines and statues and crosses and crucifixes and pictures and paintings and all kinds of things. But she was very religious and prayed devoutly on her own in her own house and things like that. Anyway, so we already knew that Mary had all this, and that Mary would have the task of sorting all this and what she was going to do with it. But what we didn't know was just how big the task was going to be, and not just in a physical sense, practical sense, but on an emotional sense. Because we got a call, or Mary got a call from Mary just 3 or 4 days ago to say that she had some stuff that Mary had, that's old Mary Kelly, had said that my Mary must get for her charity events, her charity car boots and that, because she knew what my Mary did. And as I said, they were very close. And so I was instructed to take the car up and collect the bits and pieces that Mary had prepared ready for us. And what I wasn't prepared for was just how much stuff, exactly how much stuff was going to come into the car. It's a good job it's an estate car, trust me. And when I got to the house, Mary met me at the door. And I went in, and you would have swore, honestly, you'd have swore that a bomb had went off inside the house. And of course, she explained to me that every drawer, every cupboard, every wardrobe, every nook and cranny of the house was full, brimming full of just about everything you could think of. Old Mary had kept even invoices and receipts from her young married life. She had paperwork to do with her own father and mother way back when they were a young couple. She had one of her, I can't remember if it was her father or her uncle, who apparently was a referee in football, quite well known. She didn't go into details and tell me who he was, but she'd even his record book, you know, that you see a referee writing in his wee book. Well, she had collected his books, and they were in a drawer, all about which match, what date, what went on. You know, number 7 was sent off in 43 minutes for verbal abuse of a referee or something. All this kind of stuff, all bandied together. And so Mary's task had become what she thought would have been 2 or 3 days, had turned into a 2-week arduous task of sorting all this out. And I actually had to ask the authority, because it's a housing, you know, one of these sheltered association buildings for older people. And so the lease would be up when Mary, old Mary, died, and so it had to be vacated for a new resident. So she actually asked him for an extension of time so that she could get everything sorted. There was just far too much, and so she was granted that. So she had to be out by last night, and so basically filled this car with everything you could think of, from religious artifacts, but to jewellery and clothes and my goodness me, you know, so much stuff. Anyway, so I got a phone call. Actually, Mary got a phone call yesterday to say that she had some more bits and pieces, but not as much as the last time, and could I come up and pick them up again? And I'd been away for most of the day, and so when I got home, I was instructed to go up and pick them up. I was happy to do it, to be honest with you, even though it was teeming buckets, because it was going to help Mary to get, you know, get finally cleared out of the house, and also get the last stuff in for my wife to sort out for the garbage. Actually, the fact that it was a good job that this is still an estate car, because it was just about just as much, including a virtually brand new microwave and kettle and toaster and stools and steps and Christmas stuff. more clothes and beautiful brand new jewellery boxes, musical jewellery boxes, and I could go on, but what I was working round to was what Mary said to me, and I had said to Mary over the phone, that what she saw, what she actually had to deal with and witness, clearing up, and I mean, that's a terrible term, clearing up old Mary's collections, if you like, made her think profoundly about our own life and how we collect things and how we store things, and we never use them, we never see the light of day, but we can't or won't get rid of them, and so we stock them up and we tuck them away in shoe boxes and plant them below the bed and in old suitcases in the loft or the attic. And so she, as I said, she said to me that she was going home, and after she had a rest for a week, because she was both physically and mentally exhausted, she was going to start in her own home and do what she'd been doing in old Mary's for the past 2 weeks, do it now while she was alive and kicking, and clear out all the stuff that she has packed away. And talking to her, I know she's a determined soul, and she'll do that, and she's going to give it all to Mary to sort out for her charity. And you know, it made me think too, well, we've actually discussed this recently, strange as it may seem, we have actually discussed about all the stuff that we buy. Well, to be honest, we are not, to the extent of a lot of people, but we have discussed never to buy another ornament or painting or picture or anything at all. We've lost complete interest in that because we realise that we've already got what we need, and even what we've got sits in shelves and collects dust. And so we you know, basically, excuse me, I'm just going to pause you because I've got some rumble strips ahead, and we're back. And so, as I was saying, that we'd already been in discussion about this over the past few weeks. So it was quite coincidental that Mary was talking about the same thing. And that's what happens. We go through life collecting and storing, and at the end of the day, all these things, what are they for? Okay, personal artifacts, if you like, you know, things to do with your children in particular, or maybe your marriage certificate, or, you know, are special, very, very special things that you've kept. But then again, if you've kept them in, a box somewhere and you never dig them out, and someone comes along, for example, your spouse or your partner or has to clear out that thing that you kept, or they have to clear out the things that you've kept, or they've kept, or, you know, and at the end of the day, all we're doing is hoarding. You may not like that word, but that's all we're doing is hoarding. And why are we hoarding? It's a kind of reflection on human nature, I suppose, that, you know, because at the end of the day, men hoard practical things. Yes, we can't throw out those, you know, that old wood plane. You know, I might need that someday. Rubbish. It's been in the attic for 10 years. You're never going to use a bloody thing. Or the ladies, you know. Oh yeah, that nice wee pair of shoes or that didn't quite fit me, but I love them, and they were quality stuff, and they'll do me one day. Maybe my feet will shrink, and so I'll keep them in a box. No, you won't. So it's actually a form of hoarding, and hoarding for hoarding's sake. And we put tags on it, you know, and I don't mean physical tags, we put mental tags on it. It's tagged to stay because it has some affectionate appeal or some fond memory, or I don't know. But what it boils down to, and I go back to the case of old Mary Kelly, it's no matter what we hoard or what we think is valuable to us in a mental sense, an emotional sense, when we go, our family members, especially if it's left to children, or even in a worse state, when you've outlived your children, or if you've had children, or if you're not a children, and it's a close relative or a close friend that has been tasked with that, all those things will be dispersed. They'll be given away to the charities, they'll be given away to friends and other family members, or they'll be simply put in a black bag and they'll be dumped, skipped, or put in the recycled clothing, or you know. And what does that say about our lives? You know, that I've already spoke this morning on a totally different subject about dying and what we leave behind, but this is in the physical, practical sense of life. And what is it all worth? It's worth nothing to other people. And if you're the person that's died, all the stuff that you've collected means nothing, because you've no longer any need for it. You're either in that other world, you know, assuming there is another world, and I firmly believe that, where you wouldn't need all these earthly things, or there is no other world, and you wouldn't know anyway. You'll just be nothing. But all these items and artifacts and things that we collect and put by for sentiment's sake, if you like, and all the ornaments that we've collected and put in shelves around the home that collect dust and we never bother to clean them. In fact, they're there and they're not there. They've become, they've blended into the wallpaper or the walls, you know, because we don't look at them. We pass them and they're there, and we never sit down on a daily basis or even a weekly, monthly basis and say, oh, that is a lovely picture, or those basic birds, and I say that because I have a collection of Bessie birds. Those Bessie birds are beautiful, and I still love looking at that little robin. No, we don't, you know. So why do we do it? We spend money and getting these things, and we say it's to decorate the house. That's all nonsense. It's to clutter the house, and some people clutter a damn sight more than others. So back to old Mary and Mary and young Mary, if you like. The nature of the beast, I guess I'm trying to get to, is the task that Mary has taken on over the years of doing these charities for, or doing these car boot sales for charity, is because she's become well known in this town, and this not just as a parish from the church, but you know, widely known, and for her charitable events, her endeavours for charity, if I could say that. And so many people, even non-Catholics, you know, will call her up or approach her and say, well, look, could you take this stuff? My old mother's died, or my granny's died, or, you know, or my husband's died, etc., etc. And would you be prepared to take some stuff? And I know you do this. And because of that, she has to deal with all those collectible, sentimental bits and pieces of that person's life, and deal with it and sort it out, and then process it through various means, but most commonly car boot sales, and pass that on to other people to give it another use in this physical life. And not just that, but because I'm involved in an indirect sense or direct sense, if you want to look at it, by being the messenger or the transporter or the collector or whatever you want to tag me as, going to a bereaved household, and invariably I go on my own. Mary doesn't like that part of it. She does what she does. But when I go, it invariably doesn't just involve me turning up and saying, yeah, hey, I'm here for the goods, give me them, I'll stick them in the car and I'll get off. It doesn't work that way, because invariably the family member or members, for some reason, feel the need to relieve themselves of certain emotional things that going on in their lives at the time, and that could even be to, you know, fallouts over the years. And I wished I had told my mum that I was sorry about that bus stop, or I wished I had told my dad that I loved them more, you know, or I wished that for the past 10 years I haven't spoken to him or her, or, you know, you can go on forever. I'm obviously old enough to realise what goes on in life, and these things happen. But when I go to these bereaved households and families, and it's an out, often it's quite a lengthy outpouring of things that went on in life, and then they want to tell you the stories. They want to tell you about, wait till I tell you about my mum when she did this. And for the, you know, over the past 3 or 4 days, when I've been popping up and down to old Mary Kelly's and meeting Mary, last night I went up and I was 40 minutes, because she wanted to tell me more. The time before, I was there for over an hour, and it only took 20 minutes to pack stuff in the car. And I'm not complaining anyway, because I really do feel privileged that people, for some reason, and I can't figure the reason, feel that they can trust to tell me personal things about their lost family member, and tell me all these things about them, even some very personal and private things, and share that with me. And I guess it's like when I come away, I get the feeling that all they've done is they've relieved themselves of a particular burden, or they've shared particular enjoyment, but they've got it off their chest. And that whatever it is they've shared with me, I feel so damn privileged that people, I mean, sometimes they don't really know me at all. They know Mary, but they don't, some of them don't really know me, and yet I'm being gifted all this information and storytelling and some good stuff and a lot of bad stuff. And you know, so I guess what I'm trying to say is that we live our lives and we go through our lives doing all these things, and at the end of our lives, when we're gone, there is a clear out of our physical existence on this earth, and then that's the physical sense, and then there's also maybe not clear out's not the word, but a sharing of your whole being on this earth by those family members. I hope that all made sense. It may have sounded a wee bit of a rattle, and I'm not even sure I clarified exactly what I was trying to get at the end, but I'll leave it at that. And I hope you understood, and I hope it did make some sense.